Imagine walking into like a really rare art auction.
Okay.
The room is completely packed, right? Demand is surging, and the actual inventory of paintings available to buy is actively shrinking.
Right, so you'd expect a total frenzy.
Exactly. The auctioneer steps up, expecting this massive bidding war, and yet nobody in the room is willing to bid a single dollar over the starting price.
Wow.
Yeah. Instead of getting caught up in the emotion of it all, every single buyer just, pulls out a calculator, looks at the math, and stubbornly refuses to move.
I mean, that is a perfect analogy for what we are seeing right now.
Right. That counterintuitive scenario is exactly what is playing out in the housing market as we speak.
It's just a profound behavioral shift.
Yeah.
We are looking at a market that is fundamentally tighter, but it's refusing to get hotter.
Which is the core puzzle we are solving today. Welcome
Indeed.
to this deep dive, everyone.
Glad to be here.
So lately, we've been tracking a market that felt stuck in a sort of standoff between buyers and sellers. Everyone just glaring across the street, waiting to see who would blink first.
Right, a total stalemate.
Yeah. But today, we actually have the data to prove that the standoff is finally breaking. But the way it's breaking defies almost every traditional rule of real
It
estate.
really does.
So we are unpacking the latest Home Acquirer Market Pulse article, which leverages data provided by Redfin, just to give you the ultimate playbook for navigating this really specific landscape.
Because if you are preparing to buy or sell or even invest in the near future, relying on the old rules, or I mean, relying on the perceived vibe of the market, is just a massive liability.
Oh, totally. A liability you can't afford. Let's jump straight into the central paradox, looking specifically at the Phoenix metro area, because that's a perfect bellwether for this shift.
Yeah, Phoenix is always a great leading indicator.
Exactly. So pending sales are up 8%
Okay.
and new listings are down 6%.
Right.
Now, stop right there. If I tell you that buyer demand is demonstrably up and fresh supply is shrinking, the traditional textbook says prices should be skyrocketing.
Oh, absolutely. Buyers should be panicked.
Right. But the average home in this market is still only closing at 98% of the list price. How do those two realities exist at the exact same time?
Well, they exist together because buyers have completely severed their emotional attachment to the process.
Interesting.
Yeah, what we are witnessing is the absolute end of the blank check market.
The blank check market.
Exactly. Buyers are I mean, they are touring homes, they are writing contracts, which is where we see that 8% bump in pending sales. But they are executing these moves with a ruthless, almost clinical price discipline.
Wow.
They are using recent closed sales, the comps, as a hard boundary.
Wait, I need to challenge that a bit, actually,
Sure.
because buyers always look at comps. That isn't new, right?
Well.
Why is it suddenly this hard boundary? I mean, a year or two ago, a seller might list a home for $20,000 over the last neighborhood comp, and a buyer would swallow that premium just out of like pure fear of missing out.
Right, FOMO was driving everything.
Yeah, so why aren't buyers getting swept up in that same fear right now, especially if, as we said, fresh inventory is down 6%?
That's a great question. The difference is what they are actually validating right now.
Okay, what do you mean?
A couple of years ago, buyers were validating seller ambition. They were validating the future appreciation they assumed was coming.
Ah, right, like it'll be worth more in 6 months anyway.
Exactly. But today, buyers are only validating historical accuracy.
Historical accuracy.
Yeah, they are looking at the asking price, then looking at the closed sale from three doors down that happened, say, 2 months ago, and they're essentially saying to the seller, prove it.
Prove it. Wow.
Yeah, bidding wars are becoming the rare exception, not the rule anymore. I mean, only 12% of sales are closing above list price right now.
So the vibe of the market feels busy, but the actual transaction is incredibly rigid.
Precisely.
So if you're a seller, you might see 20 couples walk through your open house this weekend and think, great, foot traffic is huge. I can ask for the moon.
Right, but you'd be wrong.
Because you're saying those 20 couples are walking through with calculators, and if the math doesn't perfectly align with the last closed sale, they just walk out.
They just walk out.
Yeah.
And we see the result of that rigidity in the macro pricing data, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, despite the higher demand and the lower supply, the median sale price across the Phoenix metro is essentially flat.
Flat.
It's sitting at $464,000, which is up a microscopic 0.4% from last year.
That is wild.
Right. Furthermore, homes are taking a median of 60 days to sell.
60 days.
Yeah, which is 5 days longer than last year. And here's the kicker. Relistings are up 20%.
Wait, relistings. As in, homes that failed to sell came off the market and then tried again.
Yes, up 20%.
That 20% relisting number is wild. It tells me sellers are repeatedly testing the boundary and just repeatedly getting rejected by the buyer.
Exactly. The lie detector is catching them.
Yeah.
But let's dig into the submarkets, because the Home Acquire data makes it very clear that this disciplined behavior doesn't impact every neighborhood the exact same way.
Oh, definitely not.
We are firmly in a two-speed market right now, and honestly, the high-end data surprised me the most.
How so?
Well, you'd think luxury buyers who generally have more cash and are, you know, less sensitive to interest rate fluctuations would be immune to this strict calculator-first mindset.
You'd think so, yeah.
But if we look at Scottsdale, it's the absolute clearest warning against overreach.
Scottsdale is fascinating right now. I mean, the median price there is actually up 11% to $969,000.
Right, which sounds great for sellers.
It sounds great, but look beneath that headline number. The sale-to-list ratio in Scottsdale is a remarkably weak 96.73%.
Oh, wow.
And more importantly, a massive 42.6% of active listings have taken price cuts.
Wait, 42.6, that's nearly half. Almost half of the luxury sellers in that market are being forced to publicly walk back their original asking prices.
Right. And it is so crucial for you to understand what a price cut actually signals in this kind of environment.
Right, because people hear price cuts and think the sky is falling.
Exactly. But a localized wave of price cuts isn't necessarily a leading indicator of a housing crash.
Okay.
Think of a price cut as a lie detector for seller confidence.
A lie detector. I love that.
Yeah. In Scottsdale, it simply highlights homes that overshot the comps. Sellers tried to price in that 11% appreciation. They got way ahead of the historical data, and the buyers, even the really wealthy ones, completely ignored them.
So the lie detector buzzed and the market forced them to correct.
Precisely.
That makes sense for the softer high end. But I want to pivot to the areas where demand is actually accelerating, like the firmer fast lanes, Goodyear, and Glendale.
Okay, let's look at those.
Because the data here seems completely contradictory to me.
How so?
Well, in Goodyear, homes are closing at 99% of list, and supply is a really tight 2.42 months.
Right. Very tight.
And in Glendale, pending sales just shot up 14% month over month. Homes are moving faster, down to 56 days on the market.
Okay.
But even with all that velocity, all that speed, closed prices in Glendale are flat year over year at $431,000.
Which perfectly reinforces the core thesis, actually.
Does it?
Yeah, buyers are moving fast, yes. But they're moving fast strictly on homes that are priced correctly from day one. A velocity no longer equals premium pricing. You can sell fast, but you won't necessarily sell for more.
Okay, but here is where the data from Home Acquire completely stumped me at first. Let's look at what I call the price cut paradox in places like Surprise or Chandler.
Okay, the paradox.
Yeah. In Surprise, the median closed price held flat at $423,000, and homes are closing at a solid 99% of the list price.
Right, that sounds healthy.
On the surface, that sounds incredibly healthy and stable. Yet, simultaneously, an incredible 44% of active listings in Surprise have had price drops.
Yeah.
I really need you to explain the mechanics of that. I mean, if nearly half the market is slashing prices, how is the median closed price staying flat? Shouldn't a massive wave of discounts pull the whole average down?
It sounds like a contradiction for sure, but it comes down to understanding how inventory actually accumulates. It's what we can call the inventory graveyard effect.
The inventory graveyard. Okay, walk me through that. How does the graveyard work on the ground?
Well, you have to separate the homes that are actually closing from the homes that are just sitting there as active listings.
Okay.
So imagine two houses go up for sale in Surprise on the exact same day.
Got it.
House A is priced perfectly according to the comps. It's clean. It's defensible.
House A is good to go.
Right. Then there's House B, which is priced $20,000 too high because the seller is, you know, feeling aspirational.
Right. Trying to test the waters.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So House A gets multiple showings and goes under contract in 4 days. It never really builds up in the active inventory data because it's just gone in a flash.
Oh, so it barely registers as active.
Exactly. And it closes at 99% of its list price, which keeps that median closed price stable.
Right. And House B?
House B gets ignored. Buyers see the aspirational price, they check the comps, and they don't even bother putting in a lowball offer.
They just walk away.
They just scroll past it online. So House B sits for 30 days, then 60 days, then 90 days.
Wow.
And while it sits there, other aspirational homes join it.
Oh, I see where this is going.
Over time, the snapshot of active listings becomes disproportionately filled with these overpriced leftovers. They just stack up.
So the active listings are basically the rejects.
Yes. When you look at a data pool of active inventory, you are essentially looking at a graveyard of the market's mistakes.
That makes so much sense.
That is why 44% of what you see requires a price drop. Demand is actively speeding up for the good homes, but the bad homes are accumulating and just being forced into submission.
That completely flips the perspective. I mean, if you're a buyer looking at real estate apps, it feels like the whole market is on sale because you're literally just staring at the graveyard.
Exactly.
But the urgency still exists. It just belongs exclusively to the right listing, not to every listing. I really want to emphasize that for anyone listening who is actively touring homes right now.
It's a critical distinction to make.
But let's move the timeline forward a bit. Say you've done the math, you found that clean listing before it vanished, and you finally get an accepted offer.
Okay.
The Home Acquire article makes a massive point of highlighting that getting an accepted offer is no longer the finish line.
Oh, it's not even close to the finish line anymore.
Yeah.
Getting the offer accepted is actually where the real friction of the transaction begins. The mechanics of the deal have become significantly more treacherous over the last few months.
Treacherous is a good word for it. I want to use a specific metaphor here because I think it captures the anxiety of this phase perfectly.
Let's hear it.
Getting an accepted offer used to be the finish line. Now it's just the toll booth at the start of a very, very fragile
Oh,
bridge.
that's good.
And that bridge is collapsing for a lot of people right now. Deal cancellations are a rising threat across the board.
They really are.
In Glendale, 19% of pending sales are being canceled,
19%.
nearly one in five. Peoria is at 16%. Goodyear is at 12.7%, which is up a full 1.6 percentage points just from last month. What is breaking the bridge?
Well, the structural integrity of that bridge is entirely dependent on the financing backdrop.
Okay, financing.
Right now, the 30-year mortgage rate is hovering at 6.39%.
Which is high.
It's high. And the median down payment for a buyer in this market is $52,000. What you have to understand is that because buyers are stretched to their absolute maximum monthly limit by that 6.39% rate, they have zero financial shock absorbers left.
Zero margin for error.
Exactly. Zero. I mean, let's look at the actual mechanics of a cancellation.
Yeah, walk us through it.
A buyer gets under contract, they've budgeted their cash to close down to the very last penny, then the appraisal comes in $5,000 low.
Ouch.
Or maybe the home inspection reveals that the HVAC system needs a $4,000 repair.
Right.
In a lower interest rate environment, that buyer might have had the extra cash flow or the wiggle room to just absorb the difference and keep the deal alive.
They just figure it out, but at nearly 6.5%.
At 6.5%, the bridge collapses. They literally cannot absorb an extra $5,000 out of pocket.
They're tapped out.
They're completely tapped out. So they have no choice but to walk away. The deal dies, and the house goes back into that 20% relisting statistic we talked about earlier.
Man, if you are selling a house right now, that cancellation data should fundamentally alter how you view the offers sitting on your kitchen table.
It absolutely should.
I mean, if nearly one in five deals in your city is blowing up in the seller's face, you have to stop being seduced by the highest headline number.
That is the biggest mistake sellers make right now.
Right. If I'm a seller looking at two offers, one is for $5,000 over asking, but the buyer is doing a minimum down payment loan and stretching their debt-to-income ratio to the absolute limit.
Right.
And the second offer is exactly at list price, but the buyer is putting 20% down, has massive cash reserves, and is waiving the appraisal contingency.
You take the second offer every single time.
Every time.
Certainty is the most valuable currency on the table right now. Sellers need to prioritize the buyer with the cleanest financing and the strongest structural integrity in their contract.
Because chasing an aspirational offer from a buyer who might just panic and cancel in week three, that is exactly how your home ends up in the inventory graveyard.
Perfectly said.
And we shouldn't ignore the investor dynamic here either, right? The Home Acquire report notes that investors still make up a meaningful 19% of the buyer pool in this market.
That's a big chunk.
It is. So regular buyers who are stretching their budgets are actively competing against cash and institutional stability.
Yes, they are.
If you're a seller, an investor offering a clean cash close at asking price is going to look incredibly appealing compared to a traditional buyer who might fall through if rates just tick up 0.25% before closing.
Exactly. Which is why the playbook for navigating this market requires such specific strategies.
Yeah.
We've laid out the macro trends, the psychology, and the deal fallout. Now let's translate all of this data into highly actionable rules of engagement.
I love that. Let's get into the rules. If you are stepping into this market this weekend, how do you actually behave?
Okay, let's start with the buyers.
Given everything we've unpacked, what is their exact playbook?
Buyers must adopt a two-speed strategy.
Two-speed?
Yeah. Your first gear is lightning speed. When you see a home that is clean, well-presented, and most importantly, priced accurately against the recent closed comps, you cannot hesitate.
You just have to go.
You have to go. In places like Mesa, the median time on the market is down to 50 days, and supply is a really tight 2.23 months.
Wow.
The best homes, the ones that don't end up in the graveyard, they're not waiting for buyers who need another weekend to think it over. You have to move fast on the good inventory.
But what about the graveyard? I mean, what is the strategy for the 44% of homes in surprise that are just sitting there collecting dust?
That is your second gear.
Okay.
Weaponized patience.
Weaponized patience. Oh, I like the sound of that.
You use time as a weapon on the stale listings. Across the entire Phoenix metro, 23% of active listings have already cut their prices.
Right.
If you identify a home that has been sitting for 60 days, or if you see it has a relisting history, you know that seller has already heard the market's lie detector buzz.
They know they messed up.
Exactly. That is where you press your advantage. You don't just ask for a lower price.
What else do you ask for?
You ask for closing cost credits, you ask for significant repair allowances, or you ask for a rate buydown. You leverage their desperation because you know they're really struggling to find a buyer who won't cancel on them.
I really like that framing. Move with lightning speed on the premium stuff, but use weaponized patience on the stale stuff.
Exactly.
Now, let's flip the perspective for a second. What is the tactical playbook for sellers right now?
For sellers, the most critical concept is understanding your verdict window.
The verdict window. Okay, break down the mechanics of that. How does a seller know when that window opens and closes?
Well, in previous markets, a seller could list high and tell their agent, you know, let's just test the waters for a month and see if anyone bites.
Right, the old test the waters strategy.
Exactly. You cannot do that anymore. Your first wave of showings, so the first two weekends you are on the market, is not a testing phase. It is the market giving you a definitive verdict.
Yeah.
Yes. In places like Tempe or Chandler, if your early traction is weak, if foot traffic drops off after week one, or if the only offers you receive are below asking, you cannot dismiss that as background noise.
You can't just assume the right buyer simply hasn't seen it yet.
Exactly. You must adjust the price or drastically improve the presentation before the listing crosses that 50 to 60 day mark.
Because that's when it goes stale.
Right. Because once buyers mentally tag your listing as stale, once you fall into that inventory graveyard, you have basically handed the buyers all the leverage.
And they will use their weaponized patience against you.
They absolutely will. You must launch with a price you can defend with recent comps, not a price you hope buyer demand will just, you know, forgive.
Launch with a price you can defend. That is the golden rule right there.
It really is.
But, you know, if you're a listener right now sitting at your kitchen table trying to figure out if your desired asking price is actually defensible, or if you're a buyer trying to calculate if a listing is about to go stale, the Home Acquirer report mentioned an upcoming resource that seems purpose-built for this exact environment.
Yes, the concierge tool.
Yeah, the concierge tool.
It acts as a necessary data-driven co-pilot for you. When emotion is removed from the market, you need a tool that can process the math just as ruthlessly as the buyers are.
That makes total sense. Because it tracks recent closed sales, price per square foot trends, and highly localized demand metrics to give you a real-time second opinion.
Right.
So if you're a buyer staring at a new listing, Concierge helps you figure out which gear to use. Is this a lightning speed scenario or a weaponized patience scenario? Should you wait for a price drop or jump in immediately?
And if you're a seller, it tells you if your initial pricing strategy is actually aligned with the comps or if you're about to test the lie detector and fail.
It's taking the guesswork out of it and putting the mask front and center.
Because succeeding in a calculator-first market requires objective analysis above everything else.
Absolutely.
And as we consolidate everything we've discussed today, there is one single metric, one specific signal that you need to monitor going forward to know exactly who holds the power in this standoff.
Oh, give us the metric. What is the one number we should all be watching?
It is the 98% sale-to-list ratio.
98%.
Across the entire metro, that is exactly where the average deal is landing. 98% of the asking price. That line is the ultimate tug-of-war rope between buyer discipline and seller ambition.
Okay, so how do we read that rope?
If you monitor that number over the next quarter and you see it inch up toward 99%, that is the definitive signal that buyers are losing their negotiating leverage. It means the shrinking supply is finally forcing them to abandon their calculators and pay the premium.
But what if the standoff goes the other way? What if the bridge keeps collapsing for buyers?
If that ratio slips further below 98%, say it drops down to 97 or 96.5, that means the tight supply is completely failing to give sellers any real closing leverage.
Right.
It means buyers are gaining even more power to press on those stale graveyard listings and demand deeper discounts. Keep your eyes locked on that 98% line. Watch which way the rope moves.
That is incredibly tangible. It's not a vibe. It's not a feeling. It's a specific number you can actually track. It really brings the entire complex dynamic into sharp focus.
It's all about the math now.
You know, we have spent decades in this country being conditioned by television shows and wild news cycles to view real estate as this inherently emotional, bidding war-fueled frenzy.
We really have.
For the longest time, the vibe has just been king. But today, the data from Home Acquire proves a completely different reality has taken hold. We are dealing with a strictly disciplined, calculator-first market where historical accuracy beats future ambition every single time.
The math is the only thing that matters, and the market is actively punishing anyone who ignores it.
Which leaves me with a thought for you to mull over as we wrap up this deep dive.
Let's hear it.
If this hyper-rational, calculator-first buyer behavior isn't just a temporary reaction to 6.39% mortgage rates, if this rigorous discipline actually becomes the permanent new normal for how we buy and sell property in this country.
That's a huge shift.
It is.
Yeah.
How will that fundamentally change the way we value our own homes decades from now, when the emotion is permanently stripped away and we are all just art auctioneers refusing to bid above the appraisal? What happens to the deeply ingrained American dream of the blank check payout?
It's definitely something to think about.
It really is. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, and stay curious.